A few years ago, I served on a board of a community, nonprofit community organization, and we were having to hire some people for certain responsibilities within that organization. I might need this turned down just a little bit. And one of the things that intrigued me was that several of the candidates for these positions, I was on the interviewing committee for them, and several of them had tremendous credentials. I mean, they came from the right schools, they had all the right things. And so we ended up hiring one of these people based on that, on those criteria. And almost immediately we had serious problems. It wasn't that this person didn't have those abilities or talents or skills, but this person lacked the character that we needed, and the result of the problem was that we had not taken the time to really get to know this person. And so we were extending confidence to this person based on their talents, their abilities, their skills, and all these other things that they had without really knowing them and their character. Part of our struggle is that the only way in which character can be examined is by getting to know someone. The only way it happens. And in our lives, our character is examined based on getting to know Christ and Him getting to know us. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him in the power of the resurrection. Getting to know Christ means changing certain things about our lives and changing certain things about our circumstances. One of the most powerful stories in all of the Bible is found in chapter 18 of Genesis. And I'd like to take you there in just a moment to read that. But before we look at that, I want you to take a look at this particular painting. This painting is by James Tissot. And you have Abraham in his tent door, and he has fallen face forward in front of three strangers who have come to visit him. It's an interesting picture. It captures the terror of the moment. It captures the excitement of the moment. It also captures, to some extent, the relationship. In Christian thinking, many Christians think that the three visitors are actually vestiges or appearances of the members of the personages of the Trinity, and that this needs to be looked at as one of the rare instances in the Old Testament where you have the three persons of the Trinity appearing together. And that's kind of an interesting take on that. I'll let you work through all of that concept, but it is an interesting experience. Later on in that same chapter, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, the Lord has, and Abraham has walked along with the Lord a little ways from the camp to a point where they are overlooking the Jordan plain. And God says these words. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And I want you to catch this next phrase because it is critical. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand. Anoint me that I might speak the words that your people desire and need to know. And I pray, Father, that you will guide us together to know your will better. In Jesus' name, amen. You can run that video.
Cape Town, now.
I'm sorry, sir, that flight is
That
closed.
Is a business class ticket.
Yes, sir, we could arrange a
Do you know who I am?
Introducing the rich aroma and distinctive taste of the new premium tea, Joko Gold.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? There's a gentleman here who doesn't know who he is. If anyone is able to assist him, please report to the information desk.
Thank you. Joko Gold gives you strength when you need it.
Okay. So, do we really know who he is, and do we really know who we are? Clearly, this gentleman at the checkout counter thought he knew everything, and really didn't know anything, did he? There are a lot of things in our lives that make us think that we know certain things. Something struck me as I've been studying and thinking about this passage of Scripture this last week. And it was like a light bulb going off in my head. I had on the slides for our announcements a picture of beehive-looking structures, and those are actually found at the city of Haran, where Abraham and his father Terah had settled when they left the land of Mesopotamia. They settled in what is now Syria in a community that was named Haran, and that community still exists, and they actually have some of the structures that may have been there at the time of Abraham. And so it's kind of an interesting insight to look at that. But what struck me as I was thinking about this is that when God communicates with Isaac and Jacob, and when he communicates with the people of Israel later on, he says to them, I am the God of your father, Abraham. And later on, when Isaac is dead, he says to Jacob, I am the father of Abraham and Isaac. But when God speaks to Abraham, he does not say, I am the God of Terah, who was Abraham's father. Isn't that interesting? Terah is not even a part of the equation for God. And what struck me is that it all hinges on this little tiny passage in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 17. It all hinges on that. Because God steps onto the scene with Abraham and stands above Sodom and Gomorrah with him, looking down on this valley, and he says, the reason why I can trust Abraham is because I have known him. I have known him. Until we really know God, and until he knows us, He cannot have confidence in us. Now, Tirup had all kinds of skills and abilities. We read about some of those abilities in Genesis. And many other people that we read about in the Bible have tremendous skills and abilities and talents. But the truth of the matter is that none of that really makes a difference unless we have character. And the only way we develop character is by knowing Christ. And knowing Him in the power of His resurrection. Paul was well on his way to being a great man. And you look at Paul's talents. He was a tremendously gifted man. In fact, in Philippians, he talks about his talents, doesn't he? He says, I came from a good family. I came from a wealthy family. I came from a family that had grown up with the law. We also know from the New Testament that Paul had been trained in the best schools that the Roman world had to offer. The city in which he grew up had a university, and he was trained there. His family was wealthy enough and powerful enough to send him to Jerusalem to be trained by the best scholars in the Jewish world. And Paul, it says, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers. We know quite a bit about him because some is recorded about him in sources outside the New Testament. He was a great Jewish thinker and leader. And Paul was trained under him. Paul was a tremendously intelligent and able and skilled man. He had all kinds of abilities. And he was a man with tremendous drive. But Paul says, you know what? Until I met Jesus, none of that really mattered. Until I knew Jesus, none of that really mattered. And until Jesus knew me, none of that mattered. That would become crystal clear for some men in Ephesus. They were seven brothers. And they had heard about this Apostle Paul, and they had heard about all these wonderful things that were being done in his name and all these other things that were happening. And so they decided they could cast out demons by invoking the name of Jesus and by invoking the name of the Apostle Paul. And so they take this man who is demon-possessed and tell him, in the name of it, by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we tell you to come out. And the demon speaks to the man and says, I know who Jesus is. And I know who Paul is. But you guys, I don't have a clue who you are. So I'm going to beat you up. And he did. When we are known by Christ, our character is changed. Who we are is changed. What we are is changed. The problem with these seven men, these seven young men, was that they really didn't know Jesus. And until you know Him, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in our lives. Sarah was an interesting character in Genesis chapter 18. God is speaking with her husband Abraham, and she's listening and laughing. God, you mean that you're going to give us a child? That's ridiculous. I'm a woman of 90 years old. This is a little unconventional and a little strange, God. The funny thing is that God knew Sarah, because in the midst of her laughing, God says, you will have a son, and Sarah's laughing about it right now, but it's going to happen. And Sarah comes out and says, oh Lord, I wasn't laughing. And he says, yes, you did. Because I know you. Being known by God doesn't mean that we are perfect, or that we don't make mistakes, or that we aren't incredulous at times about God's work or promises in our lives. Very often I'm like Sarah. God says something and I laugh at him because it doesn't make any sense. Of course, I don't laugh to his face, because to do that would be kind of ridiculous. But he knows me. He knows those moments of incredulity in my life, those moments when I struggle with my faith and struggle with who I am. But he also knows my character. God knew Abraham's failures and struggles. He knew the times he'd lied about his wife, and he knew the times he had done things that he shouldn't have done. And we can read about some of those things in Genesis. But God knew Abraham and had confidence in him. Now, my point for you and for myself is this. If I know Jesus, he knows me. And he has confidence in me. And if you know him, he has confidence in you. That is a tremendous thing in our lives. We must be willing to engage God in the circumstances of life and not just in the isolated experience of a Sunday morning service. I'm fascinated by this particular painting. I've seen it several times. It's by an English painter from the 1800s. His name was John Martin, from 1852. He was particularly noted as what is called a romantic painter. Romantic paintings are always dramatic and sweeping and full of color and movement and excitement. And you can see this picture is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the foreground, very, very small, are the characters of Lot and his family escaping the city. This painter was particularly known for his massive landscapes and his little tiny people in them. In fact, almost all of his paintings are of massive, and a lot of them are biblical themes, but all of them have little tiny people against these massive landscapes. Here's my point. Abraham could have looked at the giant, massive picture and forgotten about the people. If you look at the end of chapter 18, the reason why God expresses His confidence in Abraham is that God is about to give Abraham the big picture. He says, I've come down to examine whether Sodom and Gomorrah deserve to be destroyed. And I am going to share this with Abraham because I have confidence in him. Why does God have confidence, and what does God have confidence in Abraham to do? Because God has revealed this huge picture of what He intends to do to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. It is a massive, sweeping destruction. And what God could trust Abraham to do is see the people in the middle of it. And so, two of the members of the party leave, and Abraham is standing with God. And he says, Lord, I have a problem with this. Because I see the people there. And God, would you spare these cities if there were this many people that were good? And he keeps whittling that number down till he gets down to 10 people. The reason why God shared that with Abraham is because he knew the character of the man. He knew that Abraham would see the people in the picture. Once we have known Christ and He knows us, He can trust us to see the people in the picture. He can trust us to see the circumstances in the world and the struggles of the people we deal with, and to care about them and not seek their destruction. Abraham could certainly have had some bitter grapes. I mean, those people were living on the best land in Palestine. You know, it was prosperous down there. And not only that, but his nephew Lot had kind of rubbed his nose in it. And, you know, those people he had rescued them, and they hadn't been very grateful. I mean, you look at all the things that had happened with his relationship with Sodom and Gomorrah, and it would have been very normal and natural for Abraham to have said, God, I think it's a good idea. You just go ahead and pour down rain, fire, and brimstone down upon those people. I'm all for that. In fact, I'll get the popcorn and sell tickets. But God didn't want somebody with that attitude. He wanted somebody that would say, I see the people down there and don't want that to happen. And that is what it means to know Jesus. Because that is what God's heart is. That's why Christ came into the world. And for us to be known by Him and to know Him in the power of His resurrection, it is to have the character of Christ. To be a man of that attitude. Or as John says in 1 John, to walk as Jesus walked. I like how John concludes his talk in that passage. He says, you have known Him. And then he lists off all the things that are a result of knowing Him, doesn't he? You've known Him, and because of this, you are able. Because of this, you have a sense of direction. Because of this, you have overcome the evil one. And that is the power of the message. Because we have known Jesus, we have overcome the evil one. The sons of Sceva didn't know Jesus, so they didn't have a chance. But we know Jesus. And even better than that, He knows us and has confidence in us. And that is the transforming thing. Would you stand with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for knowing us, for having confidence in us. Lord, You know us in our failings and our foibles, and You know us in those moments when we don't always trust You like we should. And You know us in those moments when we falter and we fail. You know us that those moments when we're behind the tent flap laughing at Your promises. And yet You know us. And that is so wonderful. Because You are confident in us. You are confident enough to say to future generations, I am the God of Alan Hathaway. And I am grateful to You for that. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Would you just lift your hearts up to Him and tell Him thank You for yourself, for His confidence that He has in you, because He knows you. Father, I am so grateful to You today. I am grateful that You know me, that You love me, that You have confidence in me. Help me to be that person who sees the people in the big picture. I pray this in Jesus' name, for His glory and honor.